Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the voice of the frontline protector here at the Private Officer Beat Radio. Every week, you'll hear breaking news, topics of training, information for the industry of security, public safety, and law enforcement. So strap in, hang on, we're about to speed off in this episode of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this morning's radio show, July 11, 2022. The Private Officer Beat Radio is on the air once again. Rick McCann here with you, and happy to be here. A production of Private Officer International and Blue Ram Media. We're thrilled of all of the responses over the last few weeks. We've got a lot of great conversation happening, and I think we'll stir up a little bit more conversation with today's topic. Every week I try to have a topic that we can discuss and look at from multiple different directions, and this week is no difference. We've had some conversation in recent weeks about LPRs, license plate readers. A lot of people are interested, more so than I thought, and that's a good thing. We're going to have a secondary radio show and some training about today's technology, and LPRs are definitely part of that conversation. This week we have much to do and much to talk about as we stroll into another week. But we're glad to be here, and we have been busy this past week producing several shows for our brand new streaming website at BlueRamMedia.com. It'll be up and running soon, and we're working on multiple radio shows and TV productions, so we've stayed very, very busy with that. In fact, we'll be showing you a sneak preview in the upcoming weeks, so we're very happy about that. And if you like local produced radio shows, like, you know, radio shows in your hometown, maybe you want to take a listen to Highway 98 Radio on the iHeart Radio Network. iHeart Radio Network, just look up Highway 98. There's a Highway 98.1, I believe, and the Highway 98 Radio. We're Highway 98 Radio, locally produced at the Beach Community in South Alabama. We've been on the air now for a week and a half, three shows a week, and we're very excited about having that production as well, covering the coastal Alabama, Mississippi, and Florida areas along the Gulf Coast, talking about local events, local news, and this is even more exciting than the local events and the local news, and that is bringing on local music performed by indie singers, country, bluegrass, soul, a little bit of pop, gospel, a whole big of mix. And in fact, if you, no matter where you live, could be Hawaii, Alaska, Canada, Germany, I don't care. If you're an indie singer and you want your music played, send it to helpdesk@bluerammedia.com. helpdesk@bluerammedia.com, and we'll get you on the air. If you want to have a little spot and talk about something you like to do in the summer or skiing or something that my listeners would love to hear, whether it's here on the Private Officer Beat Radio or over on the Highway 98 Radio, send it to us helpdesk@blueramedia.com. We're excited here at the office. We're excited within the companies that are involved in this. I'm excited because I'm in the middle of it, and every day is a different day, different day. And, you know, I'm loving it, and I'm looking forward to see where it goes. We have had 7 security officer deaths in the first 10 days of July. We have had 11 security officers shot just over this weekend that we're aware of. It could be 21. It could be 51. We have more than 3,000 news resources that we monitor multiple times a day, and we keep track the best that we can of all of the shootings that are happening across the country and even around the globe. But we do miss things. Sometimes we don't see them as much as we're looking 24/7. If you see of a security officer injury, a security officer death, a lawsuit involving a company, please send us that information to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We've made it very, very easy for people to remember the point of contact, no matter if it's Armor College or Private Officer International or Highway 98 Radio or one of the other companies that we own. It's always going to be helpdesk@thecompanyname.org or .com. That's pretty simple. So here on the POI radio, you can send us information. You can, if you want to be a person that's a expert, you want to talk about a subject matter, we'll be glad to put you on the radio, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We have quite the topic that we want to talk about as well today. And we're going to get to that at the bottom of the hour, but I'll give you the topic now so you can start rolling your eyes now. Conversation has been taking place for about a month now in Virginia amongst several security company owners and other public safety officials and employees about maybe approaching the legislators and hammering out some type of new act that would make security officers auxiliary police officers. We've talked about private policing many times before. There are many states that allow security personnel to be sworn in as police officers on the property that they are contracted to or have a right to be on. Now there's some conversation because of the shortage of law enforcement, because of the necessity of having extra boots on the ground in communities. Maybe those security personnel who are already certified as armed officers or private law enforcement could also be sworn in as auxiliary police. And there's many different takes on this. It might be just to direct traffic at special events to take law enforcement away and let them go do their primary duties. It might be to, who knows, respond to an active shooter case and guard the parking lot, guard the doors. I don't know. There's a lot of conversation. It's been going on just a short amount of time. But we're going to be talking about that coming up at the bottom of this radio program and see what that looks like. Like I said, it's a hot topic. It's one that might have some legs on it. It might be able to get up and get going here. We're just going to have to see where it all leads. Remember, you can be part of the conversation every day at facebook.com/Private Officer International, twitter.com/Private Officer, and join us every day for fresh breaking news at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. We have a lot of things to talk about. Upcoming regional conferences, several already on the docket or on the calendar. We have our streaming network that we want to kind of go over a little bit. We have Command Staff College coming into session 5. Right now is the time to register. It will start in just a few weeks. Go to Armour College, armourcollege.org. On the front page, you'll see a placard, an ad for the Command Staff College. 20 weeks is the only private Command Staff College in the country. It is written to the level of for private security supervisors and personnel, law enforcement, public safety personnel, and others. I'm going to come back from the first break. We'll talk about the upcoming memorial services, and I want to talk about the shooting deaths of security officers, as well as the number of security officers being detained, arrested, prosecuted, indicted in shooting deaths and shooting cases. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio, and we're certainly coming right back in just a couple of minutes. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you, whether you're looking for the top quality protective armor or protective clothing, stab-resistant vests or gloves, contact my friend Ben over at Body Armor USA. Give him a call, 516 area code, 817-1666. Again, that's area code 516-817-1666. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. No doubt about it.
Cancer is a common disease. In the United States, 1 in 3 women and 1 in 2 men will develop some type of cancer in their lifetime. Some types of cancers are more common in certain racial or ethnic groups than others. Lung, breast, prostate, and colon cancers are the most common cancers. Anyone can get cancer at any age, but the risk goes up as people get older.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
Just in the past 5 days, 5 security officers have been murdered. 1 killed at a grocery store over the weekend. A disturbance occurred in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, at a grocery store. Authorities say that Anthony James Nolden, 59, a friendly neighborhood person that many customers at the store liked and had conversations with, saw what appeared to be a confrontation. He went to assist the suspect, and the security officer got into a gun battle. A third person, a woman who had nothing to do with the case, nothing to do with the incident at all, was also shot and injured. Both the security officer and the suspect deceased in this situation. Very, very tragic. You would think that at a grocery store, you would be somewhat safe. As we discussed just a number of weeks ago about the Buffalo, New York shooting that turned into an active mass shooting, multiple people dead, another security officer murdered at the grocery store. We have a list of the top five types of businesses where security is now being used most frequently. And retail is on that list, and it has been on that list for many, many years. And so this is very concerning that we have many unarmed security officers at retail locations, whether that be the grocery store or the shopping mall. In this case, it was an armed security officer, and unfortunately, although he tried to intervene, he did lose his life. Another security officer in California also lost his life because he was working at a tobacco store and a robbery occurred in Oildale, California. I hope I said that right. O-I-L-D-A-L-E, Oildale. My friends there in California will certainly correct me if I'm wrong. But this 36-year-old security officer, Odurio Jesus Rodriguez, 36, was a security officer. He was on duty. A man came in. He tried to tell the man, no, no, you don't want to do this. And was shot and killed for just doing his job. How many times do we hear this? Over and over and over and over. Security officers are often shot. But you know what? The news never makes it anyplace. No one ever hears about it. No one ever sees it on the news. It doesn't make headlines. Now, recently, and I don't begrudge law enforcement here whatsoever, but recently there's been a lot of local media attention on some news outlets and some cable shows about the number of law enforcement being killed. And it's true. Violence against law enforcement is probably at an all-time high. But tell that to the wife of Jordan Davis, 35, who also was murdered this past week in Phoenix, Arizona, when he tried to stop someone from entering a nightclub. Rather than the man just turning around and saying, oh, okay, you don't want my business, that's fine, I'll go elsewhere. No, Daniel Stewart, 34, instead pulled out a gun and killed the security officer for no reason. San Francisco, California, this past week, a security officer was gunned down there for a simple confrontation, a simple disturbance. Didn't see his name on the cable TV, I bet. William Fought of St. Petersburg, Florida. He died on July 4th. He died of a medical emergency after a fight, a confrontation with the suspect. Justin Wells also died the day before July 4th, the July 4th holiday. Again, on duty. Didn't see his name in the headlines, did you? Robert Washington, a casino security officer in Arizona. He died this past week of what they say was COVID-related medical emergency. Didn't see his name in the headline, did you? And so it goes over and over and over and over. 11 security officers shot. And you know what? No mention How did we find out? 3,000 news sources. Sometimes they mention a security officer was shot or a security officer was killed, or they call them guards. And we have to start researching. We have to start calling local coroner offices, police departments, homicide divisions, and start tracking down the information to see what happened. I don't know if anybody, anywhere, anytime is going to take notice of what's happening in the security industry. But injuries and deaths to private security, public safety officers, and I put people who work in hospitals and colleges in that category because that's their title many a times. That they call them public safety, they're security. Private police, private law enforcement, mall security, loss prevention, and so many others. Right now, I just saw where the number of law enforcement across the country is barely hovering at 800,000 when there was a time when it was over 1 million. Private security, on the other hand, was at about 1.2 million, about 1.7 million by some estimates, and I'm sure that includes loss prevention and plainclothes, mall security, and everyone who is a bouncer, nightclub, security guard, and so forth. Doing the job many times that law enforcement might have done not too long ago. It's been a violent start to the summer. It's been violent 2 or 3 years for law enforcement and security, and we need to be on top of our game. And that, again, goes back to training and awareness and a whole bunch of other things. Nope, I'm not going to be stopping talking about it. I'm not going to cease and desist. I'll be here. Been here on the radio for almost 18 years or so, maybe a little bit longer actually, because we started the radio show in Atlanta, Georgia, on the air there. But with my new streaming network, we'll be there 24/7. In fact, you can listen to our radio shows right now on the iHeartRadio network. 24/7 streaming. All of our radio shows on Amazon, on iTunes, about 27 different platforms now. We have a lot of information and a lot of news that we want to talk about. Obviously, we could probably go on and on and on for hours. And while that might be okay for some of you who, you know, don't have a whole lot to do, I do have. We have a limited amount of time on our radio show, so there's a lot of news I want to bring you. But before we go to the next break, I want to remind you now about our memorial services. And, you know, some of you have never participated, some of you have. A memorial service is 30 to 60 minutes of recognition and education honoring the security officers and private police officers killed in the line of duty during the last 12 months. We've had a lot of recognition. We've been on national TV, local TV. I've been interviewed by Fox, by NBC, by local TV stations, and so on and so forth. It's been an honor to talk to representatives of governor's office. We've had plenty of proclamations issued by governor's office, state senators, all sorts of law enforcement. The fire service and government officials have been involved in these memorial services. The memorial service that we put on has an introduction, an opening ceremony. Sometimes we have had the honor of having law enforcement open up the service. We've had a lot of people, and we've had just a few people. We have a number of folks who speak at the memorial services about the protection services and the public safety services that these men and women provide and the dangers to the job. We have a main speaker, and that's me usually. We have some songs sometimes sung or played. And we've had a closing ceremony. We've had the honor guard there, both at the opening and the closing sometimes, which is just unbelievable feeling to have an agency send their honor guard for the service. Michael Thornhill, retired chief at a college in just outside Nashville, Tennessee, was often involved in overseeing the program in the metro Nashville area and did a great job for many years. He's retired and gone on to another job working for a local police department. So I hope that he'll participate again this year. Mark Ryder, he's helped us down in the Florida area in the past, and we appreciate him. And there's been others in Kentucky and elsewhere who has helped us to put on these memorial services. If you'd like to be involved, you need a place. It could be an office, a church, a school. 15 to 50 people you should hold. You should help to market it in your area. Be willing to help raise some funds because it does take money for travel, hotel, and so forth to get there. And maybe even help to put together some of the speakers. And that's about all. If you want to help sponsor it, you can go and contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Sometime this coming week, sometime this week or next week at the very latest, we'll have a page on our website at privateofficer.org, and you'll be able to go there. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking more about some of the ways that you can get involved in, and we'll be talking next also about where security is increasing their business customers, where they're getting their business customers from. And we'll also be talking about, auxiliary police officers, security officers, is this a good combination? You're listening to the Private Officer Beat radio show, and we're coming right back in just a moment.
If you're not already receiving breaking news and our bi-weekly newsletter, Officer Don reports, and discount training news in your personal or business email, then go to our website right now at privateofficer.org. privateofficer.org. A Dropbox will come down. Just fill out your info, and you'll be the first, one of the first, for sure, to know about what's happening in the security industry. You'll know when a security officer is killed. You'll also get these great discounts on training and equipment and so much more. privateofficer.org. And if you're not already a member of the Private Officer International Association, sign up while you're there today. Become a lifetime member for just $99, and we'll also include a free Private Officer International patch and lapel pin.
Everything that you save. You save gas, you save money, you save time. But have you ever thought about saving life? That's right, life. In just 1 hour, you could save up to 3 lives, giving 3 people more time with the ones they love. And isn't that the best thing to save? The need for blood is as universal as it is constant. Save life, give blood.
I don't want to go blind from diabetes.
I don't want to lose a foot or a leg.
I don't want to have kidney failure, so I'm taking control.
I'm controlling my diabetes.
It's making a huge difference.
I'm eating healthy and staying physically active.
I'm taking my medicine.
If I can do it, anyone can.
Control your diabetes for life. Call 1-800-438-5383.
Welcome back to the Private Officer Big Radio. We are putting together a casino, resort, and hotel security program for late August, early September in Biloxi, Mississippi, along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. This is open to anybody, but we'll be talking mainly about security and about guest protection in the casinos, resorts, and hotels businesses. This is going to be open for anybody. You don't have to be in security or law enforcement or public safety or even involved in casinos, resorts, or hotels. We'll be putting out the dates. It'll be held at the Beau Rivage Casino and Resort right there in Biloxi. We'll be putting out more information coming up. We also have other area regional conferences scheduled, one right now on the calendar for Springfield, Virginia. We'll be talking more about that. That's in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia, tri-state area. As soon as those dates and information is confirmed and scheduled, we'll get that on the calendar for you as well. If you would like for us to hold a 1 or 2 day security training at your school, church, or business, please contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. What we'd like to do when we get close to the memorial dates, those are normally held in September or early and through early October sometimes because we have so many dates that it runs over. We would like to hold 1 day training event and wrap it up in the afternoon with a memorial service. If you would like to sponsor that, contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com and we'll let you know what's involved. But trust me, this would be a informative training day wrapped up with honoring fallen private security and law enforcement. And we have also honored fallen local law enforcement during these events, and local police departments really appreciate that. So if you know of police officers who have died in your city, town, or region, it doesn't have to be this year. It could be 10 years from now, 10 years ago, but you can contact us and we'll put that together with you. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Almost every week, I tell you all about how to get involved with Private Officer International. You can join a local committee. Right now we have openings on our benevolent committee where we go out and assist as many security officers injured in the line of duty as possible. We have opening right now on the board, the private officer board that kind of is a steering committee for Private Officer International. We have an awards committee opening right now. If you want to get involved in any of those, you can contact us. We're still working on the virtual museum. We really need a few more hands to get this thing up and running. Contact us. And we also, if you are experienced with video production or post-production and you think you'd like to get involved in our new streaming platform, send an email to helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. And remember, we also want to hear from you. If you know of anybody that is deserving of an award, a recognition of some type, whether that be a coworker, your boss, a local law enforcement officer. We recently had a situation where a teenager rescued three people and a police officer who the vehicle had gone into a bayou type situation and people were drowning. The police officer went in to assist and he got himself into a situation. A teenager driving by saw all of this and jumped in. And so we're going to be presenting an award with him at the Moss Point Police Department in Mississippi coming up in a few weeks. If you know of anyone like that that needs to be recognized in your community, you can certainly reach out to us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. There are many things that we want to do. There are many things that we want to get involved in. And there are many things that we used to do that we've had to curb because we just didn't have the manpower or the participation from you, our listeners, or our members. For the last 2.5 years, we've kind of sat back and just rolled with it. COVID had hit. There was lockdowns across the country. Everybody was, you know, kind of freaking out, not wanting to catch COVID. Me neither. You know, I'm in public safety and I work a lot with the public and in many different environments. And, you know, I didn't want to catch it. So we really didn't do a whole lot of things that we normally do. But now COVID's not over by any stretch of the imagination, but with some vaccines, with some different good practices, you know, hand cleansing and sometimes a mask and things like that, things are, you know, getting back to normal. We want to get back to normal. We want to go out and teach across the country, help companies to grow. We want to put on different events like the memorial service. We've had regional training events where we only do scenario-based training. We want to get back to doing that because that's how people learn. There are many people who are tactile learners. They learn by seeing and doing, hands-on. That's me. You know, I can read a book and I'll learn, but I'd rather be out doing. Teach me once and let me do it right away. I'll learn it much quicker than if I'm sitting at a computer with an online course. And, you know, yes, we do learn that way, but many people learn by doing, seeing, doing, hands-on. And we love being out in the field doing that type of training. We've done some mass shooting, active shooting. Church security is one of my favorites. If you know of anybody who is needing that kind of training, please send them to helpdesk@privateofficer.com. You know, I got an email last week. It was came into the help desk, and my office manager looked at it and tried to help this fellow. He wanted to join Private Officer International. He wanted to become a member. He was in California. But he didn't trust the banking system, and he didn't trust PayPal, and he didn't trust, you know, a number of things, apparently. Now, it might have been an older gentleman. We've had this before. We've called him up several times. We try to work things out. We told him to send us a check. If you are like that, if you're hesitant because, you know, you want to take some training online or you want to join Private Officer International, but you don't like our payment system, PayPal, which we've used since day one, and it processes. We've had people from multiple countries become members. We've had people from, I'd say at least a half a dozen countries in recent years do training at Armor College. Never had a problem. We've had a couple of fraud attempts over the years. You know, when you're in business, you're going to have fraud attempts. You're going to have theft. You're going to have, you know, dishonest people. But that was on our end. They were attacking us. They were trying to get over on us. Didn't work. But if you're skeptical about the electronic payment system, please contact us, helpdesk@privateofficer.com, whether that's for Armor College or POI. We'll work it out with you. If you want to become a member and or you want to do some training at Armor, but you can't afford it, I certainly understand that. We want to work with you. And all that you have to do is contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We have made payment arrangements over the years, many, many times. We'll work it out where you can afford it and you can take the training. We also offer scholarships, discounts. Right now, we're offering two online courses for $159. Go to privateofficer.org. Up at the top, there's a little button flashing. I think it says deals or something like that. Click on it. It'll take you to those two courses for $159. You know, there's so many different things that we're willing to do for members, non-members, people who want to learn, people who want to become members. Contact helpdesk at privateofficer.com. They can all start there, and then we'll get with you and work it out. When I come back, I want to talk about a conversation that I've had with a couple of companies now over the last 30 days about auxiliaries and security officers being one and how that would look in the community as far as what their job would be and when they would be used. You're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio. We'll be right back.
Federal Aviation Administration wants you to fly your drone responsibly. Avoid flying your drone near other aircraft, especially near airports. Fly your drone below 400 feet. Always keep your drone in sight. If you see a safety issue involving drones, contact local law enforcement immediately. Fly smart. Fly safe. Have fun.
Doing drugs is like being on top of the world. Everyone says so. Everyone seems to be having one dandy old time. Hey, it's part of growing up. Or is it? Just think about this. Before you go and do something you've never done before, you just better know what you're jumping into.
Across America and here along the Gulf Coast in Baldwin and Mobile counties, more than 75% of all firefighters are volunteers. They spend their time helping others. Around the clock, many of our volunteers respond from home, from work, and from the fire station. But just like businesses all around the country, it's becoming more and more difficult to recruit firefighters. If you want to truly help your community and make a difference, I encourage you to reach out to your local volunteer fire department here along the Gulf Coast or anywhere in the country and volunteer your time today. Unlike 20 or 30 years ago, volunteer firefighters are professional firefighters, professionally trained firefighters, and many times EMTs and paramedics. Please help your community, donate some of your time, and you'll not only make a difference, but you'll feel good about it. I know. I've been a volunteer firefighter, EMT paramedic, and law enforcement most of my life. Please reach out today, and thank you. Back and you're listening to the Private Officer Beat Radio this morning or evening, this weekend. Many people downloading the radio shows and taking them on the go wherever you might be. We appreciate you listening. A few moments ago, we talked about the types of companies, businesses that are currently hiring private security. And we've gone back for the past 2 years. We've done some research over the last few weeks, and we've looked at news articles that have come out. We've looked at trade magazine articles. We've looked at our own very large database of news over the last 2 years. And we have put together a list of some of those businesses that are hiring security in the last few years. And these are the areas of private security that seems to be growing the most. And we'll start with number one, I guess, and that would be street and community patrols. Many, many, many towns and cities and local associations and organizations are hiring security to patrol downtown business zones, entertainment districts, and a lot of gated communities and residential communities. With the lack of law enforcement patrolling, with the lack of response by law enforcement because they just don't have the manpower, many communities have put together their own semi-private, quasi-police force, and we've talked about this a number of months ago. So residential apartments, gated communities, and street patrols, including towns that are hiring private security, not only to patrol business or entertainment districts, but also to patrol the streets overnight, both on foot and in vehicles. I think the drawback to this is that from what we're seeing more times than not, security is going to be unarmed, very little training, and no real two-way radio communications with the police. They have to use their cell phones. And as you know, many people, especially in the last 3 or 4 years, are very non-compliant. They're disruptive, disorderly, resistant, and it would be very easy for an unarmed security officer to be attacked, injured, or killed, and we are seeing that as well. But this is the number one type of business. Number two, schools. Many schools got rid of SROs 2 to 3 years ago, and even some of their security staff, but they're bringing them back. In the last 18 months, we've seen dozens of schools bring back their security staff, bring back SROs. So schools are a primary business where security growth, uniform security, contract security, is seeing growth. Retail, as you have seen, if you watch YouTube and other platforms with the videos, many, many stores are hiring security. It's not stopping the mob. You know, when you have 18 or 20 or 30 people coming in and grabbing merchandise, one unarmed security officer is going to be overwhelmed. It is imperative that we understand that we're placing these unarmed security officers in danger. And many security companies would not take this type of contract, but most would, unfortunately. The other area that we're seeing a growth in contract security right now are special events. There are a lot of special events, outdoor events, indoor events, ranging from fairs to concerts, festivals, carnivals, amusement parks, places that would normally hire off-duty police officers, but as we know, they just don't have the ability to do that right now because there just aren't enough police officers to go around. We're also seeing growth in casinos, resorts, and hotels. After the pandemic, after things opened back up, we saw a rush of people, casinos not only in Las Vegas, but along the New Jersey Strip, in Mississippi, where there are a couple of dozen casinos or more, and other areas that have casinos, resorts, and hotels doing a vibrant business, a huge business across the country in many areas. So they are hiring security officers. Now, many times casinos will have their own internal, but they're hiring extra contract security, especially because they also have many musical events, concerts, a lot of different events happening in the resort area. And so contract security is being hired, casinos, resorts, and hotels. So those are the top areas, though there are many other places that are hiring security. And I think that this is, we're seeing a growth period. I think this is a good time to grow your private contract security. But I do believe that if we get in too big of a hurry and we don't really understand what the job specifications and duties are, we could be putting our people really just in the middle of harm's way and getting more and more of our staff injured or killed. Although, unfortunately, many people in the business today, that's kind of secondary to the contract itself. I told you just a moment or a few moments ago about the number of security officers shot, wounded, and killed over the weekend. This has been one of those horrific weekends for private security. And, of course, we don't see this changing anytime soon. Some of those shootings that occurred this weekend in Galveston County, the Sheriff's Department there say that a security officer working at a game room, and that is slang these days for an illegal casino, because what it is a game of chance, and they pay out, they're supposed to pay out non-monetary items such as gifts, you know, passes to movies, restaurant, things like that. But they don't. They pay out cash. Three armed men stormed into the 6,000 block of North Martin Luther King in Hitchcock, Texas, in Galveston County. They disarmed the security officer, two men armed with pistols, one with a rifle. And when the security officer tried to stop the men, he was shot multiple times. The sheriff's department said he was not looking good at first, but according to the emergency room, the hospital, the University of Texas, they say that he is now expected to survive. A security officer in Houston, not too far from where this Galveston incident happened, was involved in the shooting this weekend as well. He saw a confrontation in the parking lot of a nightclub. All of a sudden, someone within the vehicle pulled a firearm and began shooting at somebody in the parking lot, striking several people. He immediately returned fire and began shooting at the vehicle. I don't know if that's really good, proper, but he did it. He wasn't injured. The suspects fled, but were later caught by police. There are a lot of shootings. We are now tracking firearm incidents, and we'll probably have a pretty good picture at the end of the year of how many firearm incidents and security officers there were. In Portland, Oregon, a security officer on patrol of a community was ambushed. As he was making his patrols, a person sitting in the dark car on the street got out as soon as a security officer passed by and fired multiple rounds into the vehicle. The security officer received minor injuries but was not shot. He continued on until he was safe and notified law enforcement. The suspect has not been arrested, but police do say this was an ambush. It appears that the man had been waiting in a darkened vehicle on a darkened street, and when security patrol, marked patrol car passed by, he was fired at. Windows were busted out. The security officer was cut with glass, but nothing major. A second Portland security officer came under attack a few days prior to that when a man was able to take his gun. The security officer was able to drop the magazine, but it still had one in the chamber. The man fired directly into the chest of the security officer, but he was saved by his bulletproof vest. Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington, both under attack in the last couple of years. Because of the lack of law enforcement, security has been hired to really replace them in many cases. and they're just not prepared for what's happening. A security officer at a company called Wiseman was shot several times during an attempted burglary. The unarmed security officer was able to get into a secured area and lock the door and called police. He has non-life-threatening injuries. A man that was hired, a security expert in Florida that was hired to set up a security system, wound up stealing $600,000 in crypto. Authorities said that Aaron Daniel Mata, 27, was a security specialist, and he was setting up a security cyber system for a business, but he was able to steal a wallet, a digital wallet, which contained almost $600,000 in cryptocurrency. The suspect has been charged with grand theft and multiple computer crimes and is currently bonded out of the Pinellas County Jail. Sad, sad when you can't trust even a security specialist. Governor wannabe, Democratic governor nominee Stacey Abrams, a report came out this past week that she spent almost $2 million of her campaign funds to hire several private security companies to protect her during the last year. $814,000 was given to Executive Protection Agency in Atlanta, Georgia, and over $1 million was given to a secondary security company. Abrams said it's all on the up and up, but people are looking into it. Almost $2 million. A New Orleans security officer on patrol this weekend shot a man who was burglarizing a vehicle. Police say that they responded to the Central Business District along 1100 Girard Street at about 4:30 in the morning after security found a man burglarizing vehicles on the block. He told the man to get out of the vehicle, put his hands up, and that's when the man drew a firearm. The security officer shot him several times. The case is still under investigation. No charges have been filed against anyone. A security officer in Raleigh, North Carolina, was involved in a shooting. He was on patrol when he spotted a man acting disorderly. A confrontation ensued, and the security officer fired one round. If you want to see all of our breaking news anytime, day or night, all that you have to do is go to privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. Tempe, Arizona says they will phase out all SROs. While many schools are bringing SROs back, Tempe says we're going to get rid of them. Students do not feel comfortable with uniform armed police in the school. This is, I don't know. I don't even have words. I was going to say something, but I won't. This is ignorance. Okay, there I said it. This is ignorance. And unfortunately, the mentality of many is that we don't want the police because when we break the law, they arrest us. Well, that's their job. They're law enforcers, but they also protect. Lexington, Kentucky, the University of Kentucky Police Department is celebrating. For nearly two decades, they have provided security for the Albert B. Chandler Hospital and Medical Center, now with a staff of more than 100 officers assigned to the Good Samaritan Hospital and the Eastern State Hospital. They have been providing all security services for those hospitals. A former Louisville Metro police officer pled guilty to a security guard company fraud, work fraud scheme. Jackie Miller pled guilty Thursday to theft by deception. He received a 3-year sentence for the crime, but he's not going to prison. He actually will be on probation. The former LMPD police officer and two others were charged last year in a scheme for providing security services through a security company that he started, but the officers never showed up on duty. A security officer in Marina, California was arrested last week, charged with aggravated assault after beating up a woman at a nightclub. Police say that the woman had a fractured skull and multiple other injuries. Police viewed video and found that there was no legitimate legal reason for the security officer to use that level of force. In a closing note, Philadelphia says they have added almost $1 billion to the policing budget recently because they have to address the increase of violent crimes, gun crimes, murders happening, and they did defund the police partially previously. Now they're adding almost $1 billion back. We're seeing this across the country where many, many departments who have taken away from their police staffing are now trying to make amends and put the money back into the budget and try to get more officers hired. Security giant Allied Universal again facing yet another wage violation. Manhattan, New York this time. A Manhattan security officer has filed a class action lawsuit against Allied Universal. This is the second time for them in the last couple of weeks. He alleges that the security officers were not paid overtime and that the security company did not keep accurate records of hours worked. Sharita Spencer filed a lawsuit Wednesday in the state court in Manhattan, New York. According to the documents, Spencer's worked for Allied for almost 2 years. She quit last month. She says that she regularly worked 65 hours a week for $25 an hour, but that the company seldom paid the overtime hours. They would pay the standard hours, but not the time and a half. As a non-exempt employee, she is entitled to overtime payments of 1.5 times her regular rate under state law, and she has filed a class action suit asking others who have been either currently or have worked for Allied who also was shortchanged to come forward and become part of this class action lawsuit. In New York City alone, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics says that there are 112,000 security officers just in the city, New York City alone. The average wage in New York City for a security officer, $20.10. Private security currently is about a $55 billion market in the U.S. It grows currently at about between 3.3 and 4.2% every year, and some have it even higher than that. Allied Universal is estimated to be the largest private security company in the world right now. According to its own website, the company has annual revenues of about $20 billion and operates in 90 countries. Last year, it bought G4S. It also owns Securitas and a number of other large and regional businesses. According to public records, by the way, Allied Universal bought G4S for $5.1 billion. That's going to do it for this episode of the news. Why do I call it the episode? That's going to do it for this portion of the news. Why do I call it portion? That's going to do it for the news for today. When I come back, I want to talk about a very interesting topic. It's been floated around in Virginia. I've heard this before in other states as well. Other countries are doing it. You know, auxiliary police, getting security officers sworn in as auxiliary police to help fill in the gaps where there are no law enforcement. We'll talk more about that coming up in just a few moments. Are you looking for the finest private security officer training in the Charlotte metropolitan area? Do you need PPS qualifications in armed or unarmed training? Or maybe you're over there across the line in South Carolina and you need the SLED training. Well, we've got the right training at the right time for you. Premier Training Academy, located at 5624 Executive Center Drive, Suite 142 in metropolitan Charlotte, North Carolina. Give them a call today, 704-806-4933. They also offer firearms training, personal protection, first aid and CPR, and so much more. Call John at 704-806-4933.
Slow down.
Slow down and move over.
And move over. When you see lights,
best.
I'll be flankers.
Please, give us some room. Slow down and move over.
When you need us,
we've got your back.
You have ours.
You got our back?
You got ours? You got our back? Please, slow down.
And move over.
Say if you want a wish to come true, never tell anyone. But there is one wish that can make the difference between life and death. And this wish can only come true if you tell someone. Please let your family know you want to be an organ donor.
All right, you are back listening to Private Officer Beat Radio, a production of Blue Ram Media in conjunction with Private Officer International, a private security and law enforcement organization. In the about a month or maybe 6 weeks, I've had several conversations, and this isn't the first time that the subject has come up in recent years. But there are some folks in the security industry, and I don't think they're wackos. I don't think they're gun-happy, gun-toting people who just want authority. I don't think it's about being hungry for authority. But there's a number of security companies that I've had conversations with. One started it, and then I talked to another one and asked their opinion. And several other people in the public safety, law enforcement community, I've talked a little bit with them, just thrown out the idea of the conversation. But with a understaffing of law enforcement across the country, many police departments have had to turn to civilians to fill the ranks. And although most of the time those civilians are non-sworn personnel, either community service officers, at least three police departments that I'm aware of have hired civilian investigators to help with criminal investigations. I know of multiple police departments who have now hired civilians to investigate non-injury, non-life-threatening accidents. And with the use of civilians growing and being an acceptable practice in law enforcement, some conversation is now being spread around about swearing in some security officers as auxiliary police officers. And that could be unarmed. It could have no law enforcement authority, or it could be armed and have law enforcement authority. Every state has different requirements for auxiliary or reserve police officers. There's different requirements that goes from state to state, and the same is true about law enforcement training. Post-certification is not the same in every state. There's no national standards. There is a national standard of what needs to be taught, but not the requirement of the hours or total hours. So is true in the state of Virginia, where this conversation is taking place. Auxiliary or reserve police officers in the state of Virginia have three different classifications. There are three levels for auxiliary police officers recognized by the Department of Criminal Justice Services, DCJS. Level three is a sworn officer with limited duties, may be armed with less than lethal weapons, and has met all training requirements in accordance with the attached matrix of the statute. Auxiliary officers of this level are strictly prohibited from carrying a firearm, whether department or personally owned, while serving as an auxiliary police officer. The requirements in the hours of training for a level three, in my understanding, is about 120. But that person, he might be sworn in as a police officer with limited duties, but he would be unarmed. He'd be armed with less lethal. Now, one of the largest, if not the largest, police agencies in Virginia, Fairfax County, has such an officer working for them and has for many years. Not armed, but sworn auxiliary police officers who do carry tasers and I believe pepper spray, handcuffs, and everything but a gun. A level two is a sworn officer with limited duties, may be armed with firearms, and has met all training requirements in accordance with the law. Level two auxiliary officers shall not be permitted to carry or use a firearm while serving as an auxiliary police officer unless they have met the firearms training requirement established in accordance with and in-service training standards for law enforcement officers as described by the Criminal Justice Service Board. Level one is a certified police officer who has met all training requirements, the same equal to full-time police officers. All three levels of auxiliary police officers are recognized by the Department of Criminal Justice Service, which is the agency who oversees law enforcement and private security, who issues the certifications, who mandates the certain type of training for both security and all law enforcement that are not federal on the federal level in the state of Virginia. They must also comply, level one and level two auxiliary police officers who are required to carry a firearm in the performance of their duties must qualify annually using the applicable firearms course approved by the Committee on Training. They must have an annual range qualification. They must adhere to all firearm policy. And they must also have been qualified in the state of Virginia use of force curriculum. Now, here's the thing. The average academy for full-time law enforcement in the state of Virginia, and again, this varies from state to state, but the average academy time is between 17 and 24 weeks. And there are several law enforcement agencies that go for almost a year, and that includes the Alabama Conservation Police, and that's because they're trained in so many different areas besides local law. They are trained in animal, in wildlife, in fisheries, and other things that auxiliary police officers would not have to worry about. But the average academy is about between 4.5 and 5 months. That would be 20 weeks. 24 weeks would be 6 months. Between 680 and 960 hours. Auxiliary or reserve police officers in many states over the years have been discontinued because of the risk, because of insurance, and mainly because the training requirements must meet that of a full-time police officer or have certain components of the academy training in order to qualify for an unarmed auxiliary or reserve police officer. Now, in Virginia, and I can talk about other states, but primarily today we'll talk about Virginia because that's where the conversation is, and I know being an instructor for DCJS, I know the requirements both for law enforcement and security. So the statutes talking about auxiliary police officers for level 3 and 2, all armed security officers meet the statute already. They're required to have annual training, firearms training. They're required to have the use of force. Those who are private police officers also have had some of this extra level 1 training as part of their requirement and annual recertifications. So I can understand where some security company owners see this as a possible solution to fill the gaps of the missing law enforcement officers that many departments don't have. Also consider this. Many police departments have gone to hiring CSOs, community service officers, who have far less training than what's required of auxiliary or reserve police officers. Some of them, 40 to 80 hours max in-house training. Most have little or none of the de-escalation, use of force, or weapons training as required of armed security officers in the metropolitan D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area. And definitely, they don't meet or match the auxiliary police requirements. So I can see that some companies, security companies, are thinking, we already have private police officers. Why not cross-swear us in as auxiliaries? And when you need extra boots on the ground in your city or town or county, call us. And we'll come in and be your support. To that degree, to me, it makes sense, especially if they're already trained as armed security or armed private police. Take this also into consideration. You have many communities who hire citizens, civilians, to be code enforcement officers. These people have law enforcement authority to write citations. In some areas, parking control officers, which are part of the city or town, also have some law enforcement authority. You have to have law enforcement authority to write a ticket of any type. And in Virginia, some park systems, county and local park rangers, are also sworn in as private police officers. They didn't complete the full academy, but they did meet the requirements of training for private police, and that gives them the ability to write citations and make arrests at the park. All of this might seem a little hoo-hoo, loo-loo, whatever, But looking at the many states who are now depending on civilians, a couple of weeks ago, we played a recording from the police chief in Arlington, Virginia. The other day, last week, we told you about Dallas police hiring civilians, reducing the number of calls and types of calls that they'll respond to. I have a record, because I've been keeping track over this for the last 3 years, of the number of police departments, at least the ones I know about, that have reduced the type of calls, reduced the call volume, not only, in fact, I just saw a news article recently, just this past week, where the police chief was saying, we're only responding to 911 calls because we can't keep up with any other type of call. The fact is, many police departments are short by hundreds of officers, and they're not able to recruit enough people and hold enough academies to get back up to the mandatory required strength that the federal law says they must have in their community. So, yeah, to some degree, I can see validity in this subject. It might not work for other states. It might not work for California. It might not work for Alaska, New York, Connecticut. But then again, it might. I also want to bring up the fact that some states have what's called state guards, Texas being one of them. Now, the Texas State Guard is part of the state military force of Texas and one of three branches of the Texas military forces. They are not part of the National Guard or the Reserve. They are a private force for the state of Texas. And I believe Oklahoma and a number of other states have similar organizations. They're called in for catastrophes, tornadoes, hurricanes, man-made catastrophes. They're called in to bolster boots on the ground. I don't believe that they're called in for civil disturbances, but they might be. I haven't really looked at all of their information completely. But isn't this a facsimile similar to what the proposal might be about security officers becoming cross-sworn auxiliary police officers? Yeah, it sounds like something that might be able to work. Of course, there would be a recruitment, a background, a training requirement, and many other processes to get to the final point. But right now, we're just at the initial conversation. New York State, Massachusetts, Ohio, New Jersey, Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Mississippi, I believe Texas, Missouri, Kansas, and other states have private police officers. They are civilians that work at hospitals, colleges, private security companies even, and they are sworn in as law enforcement on the property where they're contracted or have a legal right to be. If you go to any private college across the country, they will either have a public safety department, which usually means they're non-sworn, or a police department. And these are private schools. Campus police, sworn in by the state. All of your state school systems have university police or campus police, those are through the state laws of the state. Private police, also through the state laws of the state, but they're for private entities. It's a conversation I think worth having, and we may explore this even further. I have a company that offers similar services. In fact, we've begun franchising it. I think that in this day and age, private police and privatizing certain aspects of law enforcement is how these police departments will continue to go. A number of years ago, we talked about on the radio show how the forensics department has been contracted out in some states. They contract out CSIs who are certified and who have the credentials to do all of the processing of crime scenes. In some areas, private security guard the forensic area, the crime scene, until techs can get there to process the scene. In the state of Virginia, a couple of years ago, G4S won a statewide contract to transport all people on a 72-hour hold to the facility to take it away from the deputies who didn't have the manpower to do it, because it could take 3 or 4 hours just to transport one person, and some small departments would see 2 or 3 of those sometimes in a day. And it took away from them doing real law enforcement duties in their own small or mid-sized community. So yes, many things are being privatized. Many things are being handed over to civilians. Many things are being handed over to security companies. I can show you where private security in the last 2 years have gone into 3 state prison systems and provided additional manpower. In one position, it was for exterior physical security, guarding the perimeter. In one situation, it was internal to back up correction officers because they couldn't recruit enough of them or put them through the academy. In another situation, the contract security company was only there a matter of a few weeks, and they backed out of the contract. I don't know what their duties were, but they decided it was not the right fit for them. It was too dangerous for their employees, and they backed out. We definitely should be having conversations locally with our local law enforcement and local government officials, county, city. If you want to be part of the conversation, contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. I think we can do this on a national basis. Let's see what it is we can and cannot do, what type of services we can and cannot or should not provide. Maybe it's an avenue for you to grow your business, to start a different division, or even a whole new company. Or maybe you want to franchise my company over here that provides these services already. There's a lot of conversations that can be had. But you know what? You can't have a conversation if you're not willing to speak up. Contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. I did think when the gentleman first approached this conversation, I did think, oh, no. I mean, what in the world is he trying to do? But no, the longer I listen and the more people I'm talking to now, the more I could see that the possibilities. helpdesk@privateofficer.com. That's going to do it for this radio program. Thank you for being here. Take the conversation serious. We have a lot of ideas. We talked about license plate readers. We talked about technology. We talked about community services that can be provided by private security. Get away from the static idea. Get away from the guard idea. You want to be called guard? That's fine. You're not lessening liability. You're not reducing your exposure or your risk. Trust me. Until the next time, be blessed, be safe, and we'll see you back here on the radio.